Good morning. It's nice to see you all this beautiful and cold Sunday morning. But we praise the Lord that we have heat in the sanctuary and we still can enjoy the place. Let us remember what the psalmist said as we worship the Lord today. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you have noted, we are a couple of firsts this Sunday. This is the first Sunday of the month, and we're going to celebrate communion. And this is the first day of the month, and we will light the first candle of Advent to remind us to prepare the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he has come, and he ascended to heaven, and he will come again. This reminds us to prepare. Pastor Martha is in New York with her family, so we welcome back the Reverend Michael Harvey, who is our guest preacher today. He is the Executive Director of the Conference of Baptist Ministries in Massachusetts. As I said, in the summer, he is the pastor of several pastors, and the conference that is in promotes the union and usefulness of the clergy, challenging realities of the 21st century. So for the announcements at the back of your program, Tuesday I think they have Bible study, and next week we have December 8th, the Carol Festival. So if you're interested, you can invite some of your friends, families to come over at 5 o'clock, come over and enjoy the carols that will be sang by the choir, different choirs in Malden. I would like to thank all who stayed last Sunday to help decorate the church, sanctuary, the Judson Chapel, and the parlor look nice and beautiful for the Christmas season. Are there any more announcements? So if there's none, have our responsive call to worship. The Lord God of Israel said, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me.
A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord.
Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God.
Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low.
The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain.
And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it.
For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
The sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him.
His reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him.
He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart.
Shall we all rise as we sing our opening hymn, number 157, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Come thou long
God of hope, who brought love into this world, be the love that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought peace into the world, be the peace that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought joy into the world, be the joy that dwells between us. God of hope, the rock we stand upon, be the center, the focus of our lives, always and particularly this time as we worship you this Advent season. And as we remember the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. The power and the glory forever. As I mentioned earlier, today is the first Sunday of Advent, and we'll be lighting the first candle. Lighting a candle is a simple yet profound act. It is a testimony that the power of light over darkness. Even the light of one candle can reveal our faces as we stand near the candle. As we light the candle, we begin our journey to Christmas, a day of joy and celebration. The first candle of the Advent wreath is the prophecy candle. It opens the period that anticipates Christmas and reminds us of those who first spoke the promise of the coming Christ child. One candle burning bright, chasing away the darkness from light. One candle glowing light, the blessing of God giving new sight. As Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Shall we pray? God of light, place a candle in our hearts so we may walk as people of the light, treading gently on the paths of peace and ever ready to welcome the signs of new life. Amen. So as we light the first candle, may I request Bella to come here in front to help me light the candle. As we sing, light the Advent candle.
Let's observe a few moments of silence as we prepare ourselves for prayer. light of the world. Shine on me. Love is the answer. Shine on us all. Help us see that love is the answer. We pray your blessing and healing on those who are ill and those who are struggling with problems in this world, financial, psychological, family problems, relationship problems. You know our hearts, and you know the people we're concerned about. And we ask you to be merciful to them and give your healing grace and bring light, the light of love, into their lives and help us to be instruments of that love. And we pray in Jesus' name. And now if the ushers will come forward, we'll worship by the presentation of our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
are thankful for all your blessings, God, and we give as an expression of our thankfulness and of our love. In Jesus' name, amen. First reading from on this first day of Advent is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Hear the word of God. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And the second passage, I'm going to read from my translation, and I'm going to add the verses that were just before it, because as I studied this passage, I realized it needed the verses before it. So I'm adding them in. So just please listen carefully. Romans 13. Hear the word of God, the good news of Jesus Christ. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to the neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for human nature to gratify its desires. And may God bless the word to our hearts. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, of course. It is also World AIDS Day. And we should remember the 800,000, more than 800,000 people in the United States who are living with AIDS. And we should remember the more than the millions of people living with AIDS in the world, especially in Africa. So let us pause just for a moment and remember that there are many people in the world living with AIDS, and that God would bless them and bring healing to them. Think of the passages that I read in regard to people living with AIDS. Love is the fulfilling of the law. This is also, as I said, the first Sunday in Advent. The theme of Advent is light. Light has come into the world. Light. There's a prayer that I found listening to popular music. You'll forgive me for that, Richard. But there was a prayer I found in a popular song. It was sung by a duo named England Dan and John Ford Coley. Have you ever heard of them? Okay, somebody has. But the prayer is the chorus of the song. And it goes like, here's the prayer. Light of the world, shine on me. Love is the answer. Shine on us all. Help us see that love is the answer. That's a good prayer for Advent. Light of the world, shine on me. Love is the answer. Shine on us all. Help us see. Love is the answer. And love is the answer. That sounds trivial sometimes. There are lots of popular songs that tell us that. The Beatles, All You Need Is Love, others as well, and we sort of let it pass over us. But love is not some sentimental feeling. Love is action. Love is light in the world. It seems that everywhere in the New Testament, no matter what part of the New Testament you read, you come across this idea that this most important thing for us and for the world that we live in is that we love one another. That we have at the center of our lives this commandment, you will love your neighbor as yourself. And it's interesting when you read the New Testament that the emphasis of Jesus and the apostles is on you will love your neighbor as yourself, rather than on you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Of course, the first and greatest commandment is you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But there are so many people, religious people, who say they love God, but they hate their neighbors. At least some of their neighbors. I know you've just come through Thanksgiving dinner, and you think about, well, I'm going to have to love these people. But I don't like them. Love is not the feeling you have toward people. The feeling comes after the action. The love that is the light of the world, the love that brings you together with other people, is action. You can understand it from Paul's letter to the Corinthians where he talks about love. He says, love is patient and kind. Love is not arrogant or rude. It does not seek its own way, but looks out for what others need. That's love. I think a good definition of love is found in Jesus' statement about love your enemies. He talks about love for your enemies as action. He says, do good to those who do evil to you. And we could also say, do good to all people. All people you encounter, all people you're involved with, do good to them. He says, bless those who curse you. And he could say, bless all people. Bless everyone you speak with. Bless everyone near you. Bless your neighbor. And Jesus says, pray for those who hate you and despitefully use you. And he could well say, love means that you pray for people. You pray for each other. You pray not just for your enemies, but for all the people in your lives. Have any of you seen the movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood? Oh, good, you saw it. Did you like it? Yeah, I did too. There's a place in the movie. It's about Mr. Rogers. I think most of you are old enough to know about Mr. Rogers. About Mr. Rogers encountering a cynical journalist. And one part of the movie that I want to mention here because it has to do with this kind of love that Jesus is talking about, praying for one another, is Mr. Rogers tells this cynical journalist that how he prays is he prays for people by name. He mentions their name out loud to God. or even in his heart to God if he's in a place where he can't say it out loud. And so we see Mr. Rogers swimming. He goes every day to swim. That's part of his relaxing and getting himself ready for the pressure that he's under. And he swims, and he mentions the names of various people out. You could hear it out loud. He prays for this journalist by name. He says his name. He says his wife's name. He says his child's name. He says his father's name, his father with whom he is estranged. And so, and then we see Mr. Rogers sitting on the side of the pool, and he says simply, after saying all these names, he says simply, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God." That's a good way to pray, to remember people by name to God. That's what love is. Now, some people think, who have heard me preach, that I preached here a few times, that I only have one sermon. Oh, that's just my bulletin or something. I don't know what that is. Oh no, that's my sermon. That I only have one sermon, and that is about you will love your neighbor as yourself. And there's a lot of truth to that. That's the one sermon I have. And even when I found this passage in the lectionary text, I realized that it's basically about you will love your neighbor as yourself. But here's the thing. What Advent is talking about is that the church is the body of Christ in this world. Now, you are small. You have a big sanctuary. But there are not many of you. The church has, and you're not alone. There are many churches like you that have dwindled down over the years. They do not have as many people as they once had. Churches do not have the money that they once had. But you must remember that you are the body of Christ, along with other churches in this community. What does that mean? That means that you bring light to this dark world. That's your mission. That's your calling. You bring light in this dark world, this world that is made up of systems of domination and oppression. This dark world, this world of darkness. You are here. Why Jesus has called you and made you his body is you are here to bring light to this dark world. And it has nothing to do with how many there are of you. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with how much money you have. It has to do with your calling. It has to do with the fact that you have turned to Jesus Christ. And he has come to you. And so what you must realize this Advent, what you must turn to this Advent, is to be light in this dark world, to realize your calling. And that means that you be a people of love, a people who demonstrate the love of God in this world. Sometimes when we get smaller, and sometimes when we get weaker and we don't have as many resources as we once had, we begin to fight with each other, struggle with each other. Remember, you are the body of Christ. You embody Christ in this world. And you must show this world the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ. That's your calling and that's your purpose. And it is the highest calling and purpose that there can be. That's why he says, put on the armor of light. An armor is something that has two purposes. First of all, it says we're fighting a war. And we are. I hope you realize it, that we're in a battle in this darkness. We're in a battle against, not against people. We're fighting for people. But we're in a battle against the systems of domination and oppression. Against the systems of darkness, the political, economic, and even the religious systems that are systems of domination and oppression. We're in this battle. Someone asked me recently what my mantra for Advent would be, or for the next year. And my reply was, my mantra is resist. You are here to resist these systems. And so you must put on the armor of light. The armor of light. You must. Because that armor will not only protect you against these systems and their onslaught against you, but your armor will also be your offensive weapons. Because we are not here just to be passive in the face of these systems of domination and oppression. We are here to be active, to resist. And if you're going to resist, if you're going to be involved in this kind of a battle for people and against these systems, then you must put on the armor of light. Now, what is the armor of light? Well, it's love, of course. And it's another way of saying it, it's Jesus Christ. So we're going to celebrate communion. And communion reminds us of the death of Jesus on the cross. We must clothe ourselves. We must put on Jesus Christ. And when we put on Jesus Christ, we're looking at the cross. Because Jesus died on the cross in resistance to these systems. And when we look at the cross, when we look at Jesus lifted up on the cross, we see our own involvement with these systems. We see how we've compromised and how we've been a part of these systems, even as a church as well as individuals. And what Jesus on the cross does for us is to call us to repentance, to salvation from these systems, and to a mission of love in the world. That's what the cross does. And then a communion, we're nourished by that truth, by that light, by that love that God has for us all and for the whole world. We're nourished by it. We're strengthened by it to do this battle. So I'm calling you. I'm calling myself to put on the armor of light, to be clothed with love, to be clothed with Jesus. Light of the world, shine on me. May this be your prayer. Shine on us all. Help us see. Love is the answer. Shall we pray? Open us, each one of us, to your truth. Help us to turn to your cause, your calling, and to put on the whole armor of God. We pray in Jesus' name. We're going to observe communion.
Previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we received two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering. Together we now read our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus as our Savior and Lord,
we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with Him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we may watch over the Christian love, remembering each other in prayer and each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and His people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we see cheerfully, according to God has prospered us, for the maintenance of a faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and for spreading the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life, and who has called us to serve Him and our sisters and brothers in the name of His Son. This is Jesus' table. And you are Jesus' church. But understand that that is a dynamic thing, not a thing about membership. Everyone who is here this morning is invited to Jesus' table. Everyone. But come with a glad heart and come with a sense of Jesus' presence among us and in your life. We celebrate communion. First, we celebrate by breaking the bread and sharing it with each other. Let us pray. We thank You, Jesus, for nourishing us by Your death on the cross in love for all the world. We pray that You will renew us today and help us to be Your people who are clothed in light, clothed in Jesus. Amen. And on that night, when Jesus was betrayed by one of his own friends, he took the bread of the Passover and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat and remember me." And on that night, Jesus also blessed the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you for the remission of your sins." And Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the remission of your sins. Drink this and remember me." Now on my side of the table, I've left the elements uncovered because the invitation to come and dine at Jesus' table is still open until Jesus comes again. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Shall we find someone that you can clasp hands with as we sing, "Blessed Be the Tie"? May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you. May God be gracious to you and give you peace, the peace that passes all understanding, which will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Now, and forevermore. Amen. Amen.